Hey, welcome into our daily editorial. We missed one yesterday. Big Al was sick. Got the flu. Thank God it wasn't COVID, but I got the flu. There's a flu strain going around here, and I believe, Jimmy, there's a flu strain of some kind going around where you live now. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. I've got something going too, a cold, basically.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, all I can say is I got terrible muscle soreness, but it is what it is. It is very definitely what it is. Let's start out talking about Iran. Many, many protests going on there, and many of the Iranians after the World Cup game where the United States beat Iran 1-0. I guess they were supporting America. Is that correct, Jimmy?
Yeah, there were protesters out in the streets carrying American flags after the Americans beat the Iranian team in the Group B playoffs 1-0.
Wow.
So that's a pretty interesting statement. And many of the people there and the protester, you know, they're protesting a woman that was killed by the religious police.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't wearing she took her hijab off.
Yeah. And, is that the woman who is the competitive mountain climber?
You know, I'm not sure, actually. I don't know that.
A woman who was a competitive mountain climber had to take it off because she couldn't see, you know, as she's going up a vertical cliff.
I remember that, and there was a big complaint about it, but I don't think this is the same woman.
Okay.
I think this was a woman just on the street that took it off in defiance of the government making a statement. So,
well, what I think is kind of interesting is the good old women's lib is very, very definitely showing itself in Iran. I read about it in a lady just threw a daily paper up on my porch. I've read about it in numerous places, and I think The Week magazine, which I don't read very much anymore, but if I'm not mistaken, they devoted damn near an entire issue to that. So it's getting to be one of those events that could change the world, Jimmy.
I think there's three really significant events beyond the Ukraine-Russian war, right?
What are they?
These riots in Iran, protests are becoming massive. And you're seeing nothing on Western media over the issues, because the Western media is now a corrupt talking point for the Democratic Party and progressives and socialist globalists that, you know, really don't want to address these things. So you're seeing very little about it. What's more important, you're seeing very little from the White House. And in fact, the White House spokesperson, the head of communications now, which is John Kirby, Admiral Kirby, he actually said, hey, protesters speak for themselves. We don't speak for them, basically. We, you know, basically turning a blind eye to what's happening in Iran and really giving no support as these people are really struggling for independence and freedom. Basically, you're right on human rights, on women's rights, on many, many different areas that the West typically would be supporting. So you know that this administration has been negotiating with the Iranians. They finally backed out of them for continuation of the JCPOA.
Yeah.
You know this administration is a continuation of the Obama administration that gave really hundreds of billion, or, you know, at least $100 billion to the Iranian government that allowed them to fund additional terror acts for probably 4 or 5 more years.
Yeah.
After they gave the plane load of cash to the Iranian dictators, and the administration's not doing anything about it, not saying anything about it. Now, I'll be honest, I mean, getting involved in everybody else's business is probably something you shouldn't. I think we ought to be very cautious about. But the reality is, they're complaining about the White House and the Democrats are complaining about these issues in the United States. Yet they're doing nothing about it, some overseas.
Yeah.
So it's very inconsistent. It's inconsistent with U.S. policy. And this same level of contempt is going towards massive protests they're building in China as well.
A little different rationale for the ones in China, though. The Chinese people are really, really pissed about the force. What's the best word to use here? Lockdowns.
Draconian lockdowns.
Yeah,
I mean, total control and using their social credit system to keep people from being able to travel or buying food if, in fact, they don't like them or if they're involved in any way in protesting or stepping away from their jobs because the government was trying to force people into these businesses. And I think we talked about it, the Foxconn situation with the iPhones and how ridiculous that is. But it's spreading. And once again, the administration has nothing to say. The Biden regime has nothing to say about this. These people are asking for freedom, for independence, for being able to get out and have basic human rights.
Yep.
And the Chinese government is locking them down in order to control them. And they, under the guise of stopping a virus that we all know is spreading everywhere, all over the place, and can't be stopped, and, oh, by the way, is really no worse than the flu, probably never has been much worse than the flu, but they're using these tools, and many members in Western society, including senior advisors to the Biden regime, including Anthony Fauci, Klaus Schwab, and the World Health Organization leadership are saying that the Chinese are the model for how to deal with this type of this situation.
That's crazy.
It's scary.
Yeah,
it is. Incredibly scary.
No, it really
scary.
Is. I think Fauci pretty much talked his way out of a pretty good job.
Well, I'm hoping that the hearings that come forth show the details of how he was involved in backdooring funding to the Wuhan lab that was involved in developing this potential this virus that has spread over the world. But the real issue is, how damaging and how deadly was it? Now, we have people on our blog that write, oh, my doctor recommended blah, 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 blah. Well, here are the new CDC numbers. 58% of COVID deaths in August of this year, 58% were people that were fully vaccinated or boosted.
Yeah.
58%.
Right.
More people are dying that have been boosted than have not. And as I mentioned to you, line, when my, you know, I went back for my brother and my uncle's funeral, there were over 200 people in my uncle's ceremony.
Yeah.
Everybody there got COVID except for those, my family and a few others that never were vaccinated.
Isn't that amazing?
Everybody did. My aunt, you know, she got that vaccination. And of course, my uncle, you know, he had immediate liver within 2 months. I diagnosed with liver cancer and died within within 14 months.
Yeah.
And it was rapidly, just unbelievably advanced. It went so rapidly from nothing. Took the vaccination in February of 2020 and then was diagnosed 2 months later and then died in the end of August this year. So, I mean, personally.
Is that the funeral that you flew out to San Francisco for, Jim?
Yeah, I flew out to Sacramento. Right. Correct. Yeah.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's just, look, I'm not the guy. I didn't do, we attempted to try and figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And why. There are so many people, especially in California, that are afraid to buck any of the trends because they still have very serious control of information in California. And of course, we see it out of Washington and the CDC where they're trying to protect and defend their position right now. It looks to me completely like the pandering to the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, looking at it from the outside, as I kind of look at some of these issues, I would have to agree with that one 1,000%.
So you have the Chinese that are really, I mean, draconian lockdown, something that on a massive scale, you know, not just, you know, millions, but tens of millions of people. I mean, Shanghai, which is one of the largest cities in the world, they attempt to lock down. They're welding people into their apartment building so they can't get out. Of course, this is what happened with the fire.
Welding people into their apartments.
Yes, and this is part of the reason why the protests
draconian
are so strong.
Draconian with a capital
because,
D.
Pardon me?
Draconian with a capital D.
Yes, no kidding. And so what happened was they had locked people into an apartment building, welded the doors shut, and the apartment caught on fire, and I believe 10 people, including a very young child, died in the fire because they couldn't get out because the apartment building was welded shut.
Yeah.
This is how insane that administration, those communists are, you know, how far they're willing to go to attempt to stop a virus that can't be stopped. So you've got these very big momentum issues with a lot of people in the West that are kind of either ignoring what's happening in Iran, accepting what the Chinese are doing. What does it mean for Western civilization as the press and the media allow these conversations to go and the tech companies allow this control? And it turns out that, in fact, there's a lot of money at stake, so they're not going to say anything. And that's what the media companies are doing. They're actually keeping quiet. The tech companies are actually silencing opposition. And, of course, this is spreading all the way back to the United States and open dialogue. And thank God we've got one guy that's got the guts to try to open up Twitter and allow people to communicate once again and call out some of these just crazy issues. Not to say that I trust Elon Musk. I don't trust anybody. I trust transparency. I trust the facts and looking at them.
I personally totally disagree with Frankie, who thinks that Elon Musk is one of the chosen members of the group that wants to take over the world and run it themselves. I don't see that with him.
No, I don't. It seems to me that he's doing exactly the opposite.
Exactly, right.
So, maybe over time, you always have to be careful of how much power any individual wields by himself.
And I know that, Jimmy. I know that.
But at the same time, that's why we have shared powers. That's why we had separation of powers between the executive, legislative, and judicial.
Right.
The problem is we've allowed the executive branch over time to gain way too much power.
Yeah.
And the administrative state in all of these organizations now, in our government, controls the outcomes.
Yeah.
And that's what's so damaging and dangerous in the U.S.
Yeah, it is. It's very dangerous. There's no question about that. It's happened right here in River City, unfortunately. Jimmy, what else you want to talk about?
Well, the last one that I want to talk about is Brazil.
Yeah.
And so here again, now you've got the Ukraine, Russia war, propaganda everywhere going on with that. And that's just it's dragging out way beyond anybody's expectation, right? You've got China with these lockdowns and legitimate grievances by millions and millions of people that are fed up with the government. And of course, the former premier just passed away today or yesterday. So that's going to be an interesting dilemma with Xi and how he maintains power with this type of pressure.
Yeah.
You've got the Iranian situation, which is very, unbelievable. And then you've got Brazil. And Brazil, Bolsonaro, president of Brazil, was elected, 4 years ago, went back for re-election against the former president, Lula. Lula, a socialist, was actually taken from office and put into prison because of corruption. Yeah. And he wasn't just convicted of corruption. He was convicted unanimously by, I believe, a 19-panel set of judges.
Yeah.
And he had a large number of cases. But what happened was, in order for him to run against Bolsonaro in this latest election, judges that he appointed vacated those convictions and allowed him to run in spite of constitutional rules that don't allow a convicted criminal to run for office. So somehow he manages to win. Now, here's the disturbing part. The Biden administration sent the CIA director down to Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, sent the U.S. CIA director down there to intimidate him and tell him he had to accept the outcome of the election.
Yeah.
Bolsonaro did. Within a few days, he recognized the election and said, okay, that's over with. But you know what? The people of Brazil are saying, no way, this can't be. And they are rising up by the millions, literally millions.
Yep.
You're seeing no press on this. You're seeing very little Western press on it. And of course, the Biden administration has bought in with the socialist leader, Lula.
Yeah.
Now, the people are frustrated. This is going to turn ugly. You've got three very important places right now with Iran, China, and Brazil having these massive uprisings from the populations.
Yeah.
And this is as we're going into wintertime, this is going to be very interesting, very interesting. Of course, Brazil's on the equator, so we're not going to see a big weather issue.
Yeah, We got a lot of fun things happening just around the corner. Jimmy, I'd like to talk about some of these subjects on the weekend show in a little more depth, okay?
You bet. We'll be prepared to do that.
Okay, thanks.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.